It was almost 5 years ago, on September 29, 2015, that the cargo ship El Faro left Jacksonville to go on a routine voyage to Puerto Rico that's done many times. But this voyage was going to be very different. As the ship sailed out into the Atlantic Ocean, there was a storm that was brewing. In fact, it was growing very, very fast, and it grew into a hurricane called Hurricane Joaquin. Well, the captain of the ship had been part of many ships before in many different places around the world. He's been in a lot of different bad and choppy weather. Well, as the hurricane was moving, it was kind of on the trajectory of a typical Atlantic hurricane where it would just kind of come up and then kind of spin out and spin right back out into the Atlantic Ocean. So the captain thought, you know, we'll be okay as long as we kind of stay to the east. We'll keep heading south and we'll be able to make Puerto Rico with no real difficulty. Maybe some choppy weather, but we've done this before. And so he goes to bed about 8 p.m. at night, by which at 4 a.m. in the morning, he's woken up by a panic crew because Joaquin, instead of going out, went up and decided to make a shift and looped and came back around, heading straight for El Faro. And by the time he woke up, the winds had picked up, the sea had begun to really churn, and they were heading right into a Category 3 hurricane wall. And so as they began to experience these swells, they were beginning to lose cargo, big, huge cargo containers out into the ocean. They began to take on water, and they got to a point where it was so bad that the captain had to sound the alarm to abandon ship. In fact, some of the last words that were spoken on the ship were, "I'm a goner." And in that moment, the brave men and women of the Coast Guard kicked into gear a search and rescue mission by which they launched out a C-130 to head into this hurricane to look for El Faro. And unfortunately, they were not able to find the ship. But then they circled around and they sent out many helicopters, many planes as the hurricane moved out to go and look for any type of survivors. They looked for 7 days straight. They covered 183,000 square miles looking for any survivors of the 22-man crew. And unfortunately, they were never able to find anyone. A reporter asked one of the captains of one of the seaplanes if it had been worth it to search night and day, 24 hours for 7 days straight, looking for 22 people like a needle in the haystack all over the Atlantic Ocean. And the captain said this. He said, "Yes, it is. It's just like a needle in the haystack. But let me tell you, I would do this all day long because if I were one of them, I would want to at least know that someone cared enough to come looking for me." You see, being lost is horrible. But I think being lost and thinking that nobody cares enough to come looking for me is even worse. That is why we're doing this series, Outside the Box. Because really, this is all about a series of influence. It's really about a group of people that God has called to go and search and rescue the lost. And not just to do it in some way by which we put some bumper stickers on our car, we say something on our Facebook, but by which we would get off of our chair, stop watching TV, and seeing other people going and searching and rescuing other people to go and actually go and love and serve people enough to get out there and look for them. Night and day, if that's what it takes, in order to save that which is lost. That's what God has called us to do. That's the movement of Christ that was begun 2,000 years ago with a group of individuals that had a name. It's called the church. And we are the church if we're followers of Jesus Christ, that God has called us out to be a light into this world. In fact, El Faro means the lighthouse. And I believe over the last 40 years ago or so, we have been a group of people that have lost our light because we have become a people that have bumper sticker Christianity, that we are more absorbed and distracted by our own lives rather than that of other people. And we may even thought that we had a light. But as the storms of life begun to kind of circle around as us as individuals and as a country, I feel as Christ followers, our light is slowly sinking. And it's time for us to regather that light. It's time for us to get outside of the box. What do we mean by that? What I mean by that is simply this. A lot of us are just kind of going along with life with Christ somewhere deep down within our hearts and our lives, but nobody else really even knows really that we're followers of Jesus Christ or how much we really love Christ. And even as a church, it's the same thing. You know, we can be a group of people that only really talk about Christ and really only express our love for Christ when we're inside of a building or watching something on TV, rather than being out into this world, expressing to the world our Savior, our Rescuer, the one who rescued us from ourselves, who rescued us from the storms of this world, to give us a place of standing with Him for all eternity. We're called to go and to give that love to other people that we have received from God Himself. In fact, there are only two things that we won't do when we are with God for all eternity that we can do now in this world. You know what they are? One is to sin. It's to live selfishly, to live for ourselves, to protect our rights, to protect my comfort, to do things for myself, to be selfish and to sin. We won't do that. We'll live a life of purity, of love and love for God and for other people. There's another thing that we won't do when we are with God for eternity. You know what that is? That is to go and seek and save that which is lost. To save and to be a lighthouse, a true lighthouse that cannot be thwarted by the storms of this world. A true lighthouse that is on firm rock, that gives a beacon of hope to our family, to our neighbors, to our community, to our world. That's what we're called to do. That's the one thing that God has left us to do, is to go and to be that light. That's why we're talking about these things. So how is it? How are we to be this influence? I also believe that in some ways, I think we're a little confused of what that means. I think too often as Christians, we've kind of entrenched ourselves in thinking that the best way to influence this world is through politics, or the best way to influence this world is to get out our megaphone and just start yelling at a bunch of ignorant people who are lost and making our lives miserable. That is not the influence of Jesus Christ. The influence that God has called us to do is to influence the world the way that Jesus Christ has influenced us, by loving us so deeply and so profoundly, even in our own ignorance and stupidity and selfishness and lostness, that He took the initiative to come into this world to mend this relationship, even if it meant giving up His own life for us, sacrificing His life in a brutal way in order for us to not be judged before a righteous God, but to be forgiven by making it possible through Him taking on our punishment on that cross. And man, that's changed my life. And I bet it's probably changed your life too. It's through that we were called to influence other people. In fact, you know, the question is why did God call us, you and me? That's right, you as well as me. I know I'm a pastor, but He's called all of us to go and be the bearers of this good news. So why has God called us to be the bearer of good news? Why couldn't He just do it Himself? Couldn't He just do it Himself? Sure. So why did He call us to go and be the people, to be the lighthouse, to be the bearer of good news to a hurt and broken world? You know why? The simple answer to that is that everything that God does kind of operates in kind of a triangle, if you will. And everything about this triangle is really, at the core of it, is relationships. God is all about relationships. That's how He is. You know, He hates sin. You know why? Because it breaks relationships. He came into this world to die for us. Why? Because He loves relationships and He wants to restore relationships. A relationship with us with Him and a relationship with us with other people. So it's this triangle. That God is the first and prime mover. He's the tip. He's the top of this. You know, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the initiative to mend the relationship that we broke. And that we love because He first loved us. He's always the prime mover. And when He moved into our hearts, it lit up our hearts for Him. But also, God desires for us to light up our hearts for other people as well. In fact, really, to love God means to love other people. They're intertwined. We cannot love God deeply without loving other people deeply as well. In fact, when we love other people deeply the way that God has loved us, guess what they do? They see it. They notice it. It influences them. And it turns their hearts back to God as well. And so as they turn their hearts back to God because of our love for them, they glorify God. And guess what it does too? It mends their relationship and brings them into an intimate relationship with us. And thus, this is the church. This is a community that God desires for us to be in. It's the community of healing. It's a community of relationships. It's a community of love. It's a community of restoration. It's a community of strength. It's a community to be the light to the world. We're going to look at a letter here this morning that Paul wrote to a group of Christians in a Greek town called Thessalonica. You can still see it today. If you open up Google Maps and go over to Thessaloniki, you'll be able to see it. It's there. So Paul entered into this place by which they didn't know anything about the true and living God. They didn't know anything about Jesus Christ and God's desire now for these people to be reconciled and come into a relationship with him, and also began to, and also to be used as the continuation of his movement to bring humanity back to, you know, into a relationship with each other, with God as the prime mover of that relationship. He came into the city and he began to share this great news of restoration with the people there, to bring them back into a wonderful relationship with the God who made them. And not only that, to restore the fellowship that God has meant for them to have with each other and the bond with all of God's people throughout the world. And so we're going to look at that. If you have your Bible, you can flip over or tap over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 2. But before we get there, let me kind of say this. So why did God call us to be the bearers of good news? Well, first of all, did you know that when we are a bearer of good news to other people, you know what it does to us? God has a plan. You know what it does to us? It brings us actually in closer proximity to God. It actually brings us closer to him. So really the cool thing is I move closer to God when I move closer to people. See, we, in our relationship with God, one of the foundational pieces of intimacy with God is moving closer to other people. It's relational intimacy with other people. Those two things go hand in hand. In fact, we will hit a relational ceiling with our God when we no longer move closer to people, that we become inward, that we become about ourselves, and that we live for our own selves. In fact, that caps our relationship with God. Because isn't it true that when you're in a relationship with someone, that if you really love them, you will begin to listen to the things and begin to care about the things that they love very much. If you don't love them or you don't really care about them very, you know, the things that they care about, you won't care about them very much. So God loves people tremendously. And so, and his heart beats tremendously, not just for you, but for other people. In fact, getting the box outside is not only for you to live free, to be able to be who you are, and to be able to just be, you know, free in this world and your relationship with God. It's also meant for you to live outside the box for other people. And so, when we do that, though, we move closer to God. Think about it this way. Let's say you married a woman who has two children, okay? And you don't really care much about the kids, but you care about that woman. Do you think that you really have the affections of that woman if you don't really care about her kids? Doesn't she really want you to also love and take care of her kids as well? So it's kind of the same thing when it comes to our relationship with God. That to be in a loving relationship with God is also to care for his own children, to care for the people of this world, to desire their salvation as much as he desires it as well. And so this is what we're going to see in Paul's letter here. We're going to see this whole triangular relationship that as Paul begins to, you know, be moved by the heart of God and begins to share with these people of Thessalonica his heart for God and wanting them to experience that heart as well, his heart becomes even more full as his relationship with them just gets deeper. And you see how this all works together. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, it says this. Paul says this. He says, "We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly." In other words, Paul starts off this letter and says, man, guys, we love you so much that when we think about you, we're always thanking God. In fact, when we think about you, it makes me want to praise God even more. It makes my heart even move closer to God. It makes me even want to just really think about how great he is. And so you see this movement all around, you know, that God, first of all, changed my heart by which gave me the heart to love you. And now, as I'm beginning to love you in Christ, now every time I think about you, man, I just get more excited about God and what God's doing in your life. And now this is bringing me closer to God. And so we actually move closer to God when we move closer to people. And we see this even with Paul here when he writes this letter. We're always thanking God for all of you when we pray for you constantly. And as we pray and we talk to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what you see here is kind of this idea that Paul was firstly moved by God but it stirred his heart for the people of Thessalonica. He goes into that town, he shares his life and shares the good news of Jesus Christ, by which they go, man, this God is amazing. By which now these people, whose hearts now are turned back to God, are now living a life of love, living a life of serving, living a life of hope that is inspiring Paul, by which Paul gives glory to God, and you see how this community begins to really mesh together. And that's what we are called to do. That's what this influence that God has called us to have, and the kind of influence that he's always desired for us to have. And so he goes on in this letter in verse 4, and he says to them, he says, you know what? We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you. We know it, not only because we've experienced God's own love for us, but now we even know it because of our experience of our relationship with you and what God has done in your life. Because when we came here, you knew nothing about God. You knew nothing about us. And when we came here and we gave you our lives and we gave you the greatest treasure that we can offer to you, which is this amazing relationship with a God who saves you and desires to be with you forever. When I think about all of these things, I know and see God work in your lives. I know that he loves you. And not only just kind of loves you, he doesn't passively love you. He's chosen you to be his own people, to be part of this community, this intimate family that exists in an incredible, different way that the world does relationships forever. It's amazing. And that's why we thank God constantly. That's why we're always just amazed every time we think about what God's doing in your lives. And God just continues to just wow us every time we think about that. And we think about the fact that he loves you incredibly. And so it goes on in this next verse, and he says to them, he says, for when we brought you the good news. And so in other words, now think about it this way. Paul, you know, this is a letter that he wrote later on. So what he's doing here is he's bringing back to memory of the first time that this group of people met him, okay? So he said, hey, let's go down memory lane here for a little bit. Remember when we brought you the good news? We didn't just come here and just kind of start shouting and telling you guys that you guys are, you know, a bunch of heathen, lost Gentiles who don't know anything, and you better turn or else God, turn from your sins or else God's going to get you, you know? He said, you know, when we brought you the good news, it wasn't just that. It wasn't some bumper sticker Christianity. It wasn't just with words, but it was with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you the full assurance that what we said was true. And you know our concern for you from the way that we lived when we were with you. In other words, what he's saying here, when we brought you the good news, remember that? Remember that God brought us the good news through a group of people who love you deeply? We didn't even know you, but God was just stirring our hearts because we know that God loves you. And if God loves you, we love you. And if we're made in the image of God, we know you're made in the image of a God. And if God desires for us to have a relationship with him forever, we know that God wanted you to have that relationship with you as well. And when we came to town not just as something just to give you some kind of knowledge or information or to shame you or anything like that. We came out of our relational concern and love for you. And so when we came and we spoke to you, and that's important, they didn't just come to this town and they were just kind of nice, good people. They were, but they came with the bearing treasure. And this treasure that we have must come from us by speaking to other people. In fact, we hold this inside our box when we're unwilling to share with people the most intimate and most precious thing that we have, which is Jesus Christ. And really, the only way for us to have an influence in this world is to proclaim it, is to say it. Isn't that true of anything in our lives, even just the most base things? Like, you may have a really wonderful restaurant like you like to eat at, and if people are looking for a recommendation or something like that for a restaurant, you know, you could be the nicest person in the world, but if you don't tell them exactly what restaurant you think is great and that would be a really blessing for them, it'd be a wonderful thing to go to, it doesn't really help them out. So, you know, that's a very base thing because the good news that we have in Jesus Christ is so far better and so far greater than that. It's peace, it's hope, it's eternal life. But it has to come to a point where we say to people, let me share with you the most amazing thing in my life. Let me share with you the one who's changed my life, that I believe you will be, that would be an amazing blessing to you if you, you know, heard this and began to at least hear him out, because I believe that he could be the greatest, or he will be the greatest blessing in your life, not only for today, but for eternity. But it's not just with words either. It's not just speaking words and saying stuff at people. It is dependence on God to do the work in their lives. And it's also through our concern and our love for other people, because that's really what God's calling us to do. God says, you know what? I'll do the work. Let me be the influencer in their lives. All I'm really asking you to do is have some concern for people, to think about them. You know, if there's somebody who's lost at sea, don't be the person who's just sitting there watching TV and going, man, that's really bad. But get out there, go search and rescue and be part of that in order for people to come to a place that they can experience what you have in Jesus Christ. God desires for us to be the light to this world, to be the leaders of this world, to be the influencers of this world. If we're not, the world is going to continue to be confused. It's going to continue to try to politic its way into some kind of, you know, great society that we live in. That the world is going to keep yelling at each other with louder and louder bullhorns. It's just thinking, if I'm louder than everybody else, then finally people will listen. And God's saying to us, it's never worked throughout human history. It's never worked. There's only been one way that has truly worked, that has changed humanity. And it is through by the quiet concern of love that people have for other human beings that is fostered and began and initiated by the love of the God of the universe that's changed our lives, by which we just simply share our lives with other people, share the goodness that God has given us through Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, one of the things that when we do this is not only does our heart move closer to God as we move closer to other people. You know what? You know who else moves closer to God when we move closer to people? People move closer to God when we move closer to people. And so what we see here is that when we move closer to people, guess what happens? They move closer to God, okay? See, people move closer to God when we move closer to them. That when we begin to love other people, and they begin to see within us the people who care, not just a bunch of blowhorn people who just shout things out on the internet or on chats or on Facebook, but we are actually people who go, wow, you know what? They really care. I may even disagree with them. I may not even really like them at first because they have this label of Christians and I don't even really know what to do with them. But one thing's for certain, I see a deep concern that they have for me and a deep love for me. Not only that, but when people are hurting, guess who they're going to go to? They're going to go to trusted people who they know love them. That's the influence that God's called us to have. In fact, when they move closer to us, we have the opportunity to help them to move closer to God. And so we see this with the people of Thessalonica. When Paul's heart was moved by God to come to these strangers who didn't even really know God or even really know Paul, by which his heart just kind of kept growing for them, and he gave them their lives and gave them, shared it with them, you begin to see that their lives begin to move towards God. And so this is what you see in verse 6 of that same letter there. That very next verse, he goes on and he says this. He says, so you received the message with joy. When you experienced our love or concern for you, when you heard this good news, when God began to infuse your heart, you received this message, how? With joy. See, when we came bearing good news, you recognize it as what it is, good news. That as people who are far from God, God made a way to bring you back to him, and you received it with absolute joy. As the Holy Spirit began to really influence and impact your life. And you received it with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. You know what that tells me? That they were, you know, the fact that they were suffering? You know what that means to me? They were suffering. You know why they were suffering? Because they were living outside the box. We don't suffer when we live inside the box. You know, we protect ourselves, we keep ourselves, we live on the defense, we kind of close ourselves up. No one suffers when they hide. These were people who are like, man, this God is willing to save me? this God gave his life for me. This God wants me to live with him forever. And now he's bringing me into this amazing community. That's amazing. Everybody needs to know about this. Now, there were people who didn't really want to hear about it. And there was some suffering that came about. But you know what? That didn't stop them. You know why? Because their heart was so full of the love of God and remembrance of what God is and the knowledge of what God has done for them. That their hearts were full because of the love and concern that Paul and his followers had for them and this community that they began to build up. That they just realized, man, everybody needs to have this thing. This is incredible. This gift is so much, is so precious and so meaningful that I'm willing to suffer, even if it means I have to suffer. Because I want people to have this so much that it is so big and so grand. And the hope that I have in Christ is so big. It's bigger than any kind of suffering that I can have. That is the influence that has changed the world over 2,000 years. He says, in this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. How did they imitate the Lord and Paul and his followers? Because they were willing to go and share with other people the greatest news that has ever spoken in all of humanity. The greatest news. You know what's the great news? I love you no matter what. I know everything you've done, and I still care about you. That's good news. Hey, you know what? You know, there are a lot of things that you've done wrong, and you deserve judgment on that. But you know what? I'm going to pay the penalty for you. I'm going to sacrifice my life for you because I love you that much. That's pretty good news. Guess what? When you die and you've given your life to me and you desire to be adopted and grafted into my family, guess what? You're in the family for all eternity. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's pretty good news. And guess what? When you die, you're with me forever. That's good news. There isn't anything else in this world that has any good news on that. Hey, you know, you earn some more money, all right? So it feels good for a while, but then it's just money. You get a new car, it becomes rust. You know, things shift and change and all that sort of stuff. This is the best news in the world. It's changed your life, and God's calling us to be a light to this world, to go and influence and change the world. We don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit will do it. God just wants us to move through the love that he has for other people and wants us to love with that same kind of move for others. And so he goes on in verse 7, and he says, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. Their influence was massive as they lived outside the box. People are talking about you guys. They're hearing about your faith. They're hearing about your love. They're hearing about your commitment to the Lord. They're hearing about you spreading this great news to friends and family members and other people. And they're hearing about the life change that's happening all over the place because of your love and your concern for the people who do not know Jesus Christ. And so he says, not only that you're an example, but man, every time we come into contact with people, they're talking about you. And so in verse 8, he says this. He says, and now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you. Everybody is hearing about your faith as you speak and live your life and live the good news to the people in this community. It is latching on because there's a world out there who wants that community. There's a world out there who wants to know if there's a living God. There's a world out there who wants to have this relationship with this God who cares deeply about them. And this thing, by the fact that you guys are living this out so freely and joyfully, man, it's ringing out everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. It's even beyond Greece. Everybody's talking about you guys. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. Isn't that outside the box kind of living that these guys had? That's why the Roman world began to follow Jesus Christ. Not because they protested at Rome, not because they began yelling and screaming at other people, through their deep and utter concern for lost people. They were willing to lay down their life as Christ laid down their life for them so that these people can experience what they've experienced themselves. And that is going out everywhere. It's influencing so many people. That is the influence of God that God has called us to. And so in verse 9, he continues to reiterate this. For they keep talking about you. In fact, you know, every time we talk about them, they just want to talk about you guys. And they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from the idols to serve the living and true God. In other words, look at this triangle, right? How they turned away from the fruitless things of this world to the living true God. And not only that, but now how they have concern for us. See? God, the prime mover, moved in their hearts for Paul, by which Paul's heart moved towards these in Christ, by which their heart turned moved towards God, by which their heart now is concerned for the things of Paul and his life and his followers as well. And so here you see this amazing, beautiful community that's built around an influence that is living freely outside the box. I bet you desire to live that way. I know you do. I know you do. And one of the ways for us to be able to live this way is just to live freely who we are. To share with other people, it really is just to share who we really are. It is basically to share to the world that, yeah, I love Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think he's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of a guy who's willing to die for me. Yeah, I don't know why I would even be ashamed of that. Yeah, man, I'm super grateful for the eternal life that he's given me. In fact, I'm telling you about him because I want you to have the exact same thing. I want you to share in that. That is our influence. In fact, in the last verse here, he goes on and he says this. And they, okay, the people that we've been talking about, you Thessalonians, they also speak about how you're looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven. In other words, he's saying, you know what? When we talk to them, we are hearing how you are saying to them that you are so fired up and you can't wait for Jesus Christ to come back and restore all things. In fact, that's the gospel. That's the good news. They're living the good news. You know what the good news is? The good news is really penetrating your heart when you go, man, I can't wait till Christ comes back. Man, I can't wait to be with him for all eternity. Man, I can't wait, you know, to be with him. But hey, for now, if it means to suffer, that's okay. I'm going to go and love the world as he's loved me. I'm going to go and share with the world what has been shared to me, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just going to use this through proclamation and words, though I am, but I'm going to use it through my life and my concern for other people, because my heart is, as God is moving my heart to other people, that other people's heart would experience the love of God as I've experienced it. And through that, that we would have a wonderful relationship and community called the church together. And he goes on and says, this Jesus too, who's raised from the dead, he's the one who rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. The influence that God's called us to have is to go and to love the world by which we are to search and rescue, so that this world doesn't have to go along in darkness, in pain and suffering, in its own sinfulness and selfishness apart from God. But that we would go in the world and say, hey, there's a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you very much to the point of giving his life to us. I'm not ashamed of him. You know why? Because he loves me deeply. And he's not ashamed of me because he loves me. And I share this with you so that way you can experience that love as well. We're going to sing a song here. And it's a wonderful song. It's the world outside the window. And it's really all about us, you know, no longer living life by just looking outside the window and just watching everything pass us by. We can easily just sit in our homes and watch our neighbor pass by and just think that it's just some kind of person going along there, rather than recognizing that that person that I see out there is my neighbor. They have hurts, they have fears, they have wonders, they have a desire to live for eternity. They really ultimately, whether they realize it or not, really desire all the wonderful things that you have in Christ. They're a human being. That when we drive our cars, we wouldn't just drive along and we would just look outside our window and we would just see other cars, but we would see real people. People who God desires to be brought into our family, to be brothers and sisters in Christ, who too also have hurts and feelings and joys and desires as well, that we would see them the way that God sees them. That when we go to Publix, and that we wouldn't just look through the little window when we're checking out the little glass thing there and just see some employee there, that we would see somebody with the same view that God sees them. And we would no longer just live passively by and watching all these people just kind of come and go, but that we would be a people who take the initiative to engage by having a heart of concern for them, a heart of love, a heart of desire for them to experience community and a relationship with God the way that we do. And so as we sing this song, I want you to just really think about this. And I want you to really kind of think about this song in a way that's like, make this your anthem. Make this the song by which you say, I'm not going to let this world just pass me by. There's only two things God there's only two things I can do now that I can do that I can't do in all eternity. That's sin and that's help save and rescue people. Well, I'm not going to sin, so I'm going to spend the rest of my life being used by God to go and love and serve other people, to rescue them and to bring them back into a relationship with God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, I confess to you that so often I've hidden you in a box, and I'm ashamed of that, because you've loved me deeply more than any human being has ever loved me. That God, there isn't anybody who has done what you've done for me, and you continue to love me fiercely. And so, Father, I desire to be a person who lives out and openly, that to share my life with other people is to share with them my love and my devotion to you, and to express to people how good and kind and wonderful and beautiful and you are to me, in hopes of that they would too experience that love for you, to turn their hearts from you. In fact, God, that's the way that you desire for us to influence others. So God, I pray that through your Spirit you would move us outside of the box, outside of our house, and into this world. It's in your Son's name I pray.